I want to talk about compassion, which is usually listed next after metta on the list of the Brahma-viharas. But it makes a kind of sense that it's there. Had a voice a minute ago. Because there's so much suffering in this world. This was, after all, the first noble truth. And so a heart that has been made tender with metta will probably notice suffering in not too long. So that brings us to the practice of compassion. There are countless wonderful quotes by the Dalai Lama about compassion, but today I want to use this one with you. If you want others to be happy, practice compassion. If you want to be happy, practice compassion. When a heart that is loving meets suffering, it fills with compassion. It's a quivering of the heart, they say, that inspires the desire for those who suffer to be free of their dukkha, to be happy. Often we also want to act, to do something, to comfort and help those who suffer. Metta and generosity are basic practices for opening the heart, and compassion stretches it until it can be entirely open to all that is. Now, when Deb and I were planning this event, I chose to talk today about both compassion and equanimity because they support each other so beautifully, and I feel necessarily. Much of the training that Zen Hospice Project gave me and Deb was about this synergy between the openness of the compassionate heart and how equanimity allows it to open so wide. Without equanimity, turning your attention fully to the suffering of another is challenging and can result in dukkha for yourself. But when these two Brahma Viharas work together and allow you to be completely present and supportive with someone who's suffering, it gives you a very open heart and a great sense of joy and love. Working this way with people who were dying turned out to be one of the most heavenly experiences I've ever had. In turn, compassion supports equanimity, and I'll talk about that some more this afternoon. So, how does our being compassionate make others happy? As the Dalai Lama said, it almost sounds magical, like we're casting some sort of a spell or invoking supernatural aid. But let's go back a step and look that in the first place, the practice of compassion is wanting others to be happy. And usually just telling them that we wish this for them will have a positive effect, a comforting, a sense of support. And also, compassion, as I said, often brings on the urge to help, though it can take wisdom to know how to help so that it's likely to actually mitigate another suffering. And I'll just give a plug for a Dharma talk that I've given in the past year called Wise Helping. Sometimes just asking if you can help will open that door. Or at least, again, know them. Let them know that you really do care. It may be that the most powerful benefit our compassion gives others is that they see they're not alone. Just being there with and for someone is often the best support we can give them. And that was certainly true as a hospice volunteer. A fully present person who's not afraid to see us and accept us in our situation is wonderfully comforting and encouraging. Sometimes it takes just really listening. Other times, a hug or holding their hand will do. And this is true for the perfectly healthy as much as it is for the dying. It may take just really being there with them in their experience. I recently read that a kind gesture can reach a wound that only compassion can heal. The helping part of compassion can be hard. Walking into a hospice ward may not be right for you. Maybe it would be best to practice with something less intense. So there are phrases that I'll share during the meditation for inclining the mind and the heart toward being compassionate. And there are some practices you can do as you go about your daily life. And maybe it would be a good idea to keep a diary of what happens when you try some of these. First of all, notice beings who are suffering and hold your response to that with kindness and equanimity for yourself. Now, equanimity can come in with the fact that dukkha is something that we make for ourselves. And so when we see other beings who are suffering, there might be a temptation to think that they brought it on themselves. And that's the nature of dukkha. And so holding the fact that they're human and we all do this with kindness and equanimity, not being attached to our judgments, it's very helpful. And have kindness and equanimity toward yourself. Because when we open the heart to the suffering of others, to be really present with it, it can hurt. And that metta and equanimity allows it not to hurt. So let yourself feel your natural response to the suffering of others, whether they're human or other occupants of this planet. Bring kindness to your own feelings so that you stay balanced and don't close yourself off or hold your response at arm's length or retreat into being glad that their suffering is not happening to you. Be there for yourself as you open your heart to compassion. These things that I just mentioned are that near enemy of compassion. They have names, but it gets confusing, so I just said what we do often to not let ourselves feel it. Think of ways to comfort beings who are suffering. Sometimes it's as simple as recognizing that there is a need that you can meet and offering what will help. Like spare change, people who are having trouble with a parking meter, or sending a card, or making a phone call, etc. Maybe it's more complex, like a hospital visit, or taking them a meal when they ask for it, or when you know they need it. Thinking about how we can help trains the mind in compassion, even if it turns out that there isn't actually anything we can do. So, my third practice for daily life, and again, they're on the handout over there on the table, is to volunteer, donate, practice dana, extend your borders of caring. In addition to those that we see suffering immediately, we can also help groups of beings, those we don't even know yet. We can volunteer to help feed the hungry, take care of animals, spend time with shut-ins. We can donate to organizations who similarly help reduce suffering by doing this kind of thing. And we can give dana, the highest form of helping all those who hear the teachings. The more we expand our circle of caring, the more open our hearts become. Acting on compassion inclines us to be compassionate again in the future. And I need a handout. Do you have it?
I need a handout.
I need my phrases.
Oh, I don't have it. Sorry.
Got it, David. I am not the artist at leading Brahmavihara meditation that Deborah is, so I will introduce you to the phrases now and then say them a couple of times at the beginning of the meditation and then a little while later, but give you time during the meditation to sit with the phrases that resonate for you and see how you're feeling. You don't have to feel compassion. Just as Deborah said, as you say these phrases, all sorts of things can come up and that's just fine. So find a position that's comfortable. And when I say you, I mean you. And then you can also, by that you, mean someone else. Either someone you know who is suffering, or others in general.